You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Right on time. There we go.
Look at it. Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, this doesn't look like my Lake Wissota studio at all, Parker.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel like it, let me tell you.
No, not even close. But, you know, here we are somewhere on the prairies of Saskatchewan, complete with, you know, prairie dogs popping in and out around here. And John and Gordy joining us from our Madison station as well. In A1, Parker's in A2, and we've explained that story before, but it's going to be worth explaining again this time. John and Gordy, you hearing me okay?
We can hear you. Yes.
Okay. All right. So tell me, I've heard Parker's version. Tell me the story now of how you guys chased away my 7:30 guest.
Well, we were on the air. That was interesting. And a person started wandering into the station.
As one does, yes.
You know. And was, you know, and so he just continued to wander for a couple of minutes.
He was patiently waiting, and we thought that maybe we had double booked. And that's how we approached it, as a double book.
Yeah. So when
we apologized,
we went into a commercial break and started talking to him, and we didn't know who he was. He didn't know who he had talked to be on the air. We thought, you know, maybe our previous producer, Sam, had booked him and we didn't get the word.
And I like how this is everything about this says, you know, Luke booked this guy. And so I'm putting this all on Mathers right now. Yeah. Mathers should have been there to hold his hand and walk him down to that broom closet where it's not obvious that there is an A2 to go along with the palatial A1. So I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. You know, live radio.
We freaked out and we're apologizing to you. Oh, right, you're on the air.
No apology needed there. Especially if you bring a good story. And that, guys, that's a good story. I like that.
All right, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I hope you can rebook him at some future date.
You know, I got higher price. I got to rebook a flight so I can get out of Canada here, you know, first before I can get to you. So we got a one step at a time. And again, it's Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. Good guy, good group. No doubt that they will be back. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well to talk about the forecast. It's a sunny, partly cloudy morning up here on the prairies of Saskatchewan, where again, it got really warm yesterday. But Brittany, what does the picture look like for Wisconsin today?
You know, before I get to that, I have a question for you though, Pat. Up in Canada, how's that wildfire smoke?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It was not great on Friday and Saturday, but it was pretty much gone on Sunday because, I mean, you've seen the maps and you see how the smoke gets grabbed by the wind and kind of rounds the bend and then pours into Wisconsin and Minnesota and places like that. So Saskatchewan, or where Regina is, it's like due south of the fires, but the way the wind was blowing, you weren't getting as much smoke. And now today there's not a smoke problem at all, but they will tell you the fires are still a major problem up there. You know, we think of it as like uninhabited, you know, maybe some Eskimos have a summer home there, but no, there are actually a lot of folks living up there that are losing homes. Is the smoke situation better down there yet?
Oh, it's trying to. There, this morning we were still at moderate levels, but a lot of the places up north were getting much better. So we're getting there. Goodness, that's scary though to think about and to be so close to as well.
Right. So what do we got around Wisconsin now?
So right now we're waking up to temperatures at about 52 degrees in Superior, 70 right now in La Crosse, which that is warmer than the north got all weekend long. So we are warming up all across the state today. Highs making it to about 80 to 85 degrees. It's muggy. It's getting sticky. It's getting humid. We've got a little bit of light rain rolling through southern parts of the state. A few showers and storms expected to pop up this afternoon. And then a major line wanting to roll through this evening, starting northwest and pushing through the entire state through late tonight and overnight. Now, of course, as this storm starts, probably around 4 to 6 o'clock or so, far northwest, it's going to be in its worst situation where we could see some large hail, damaging high wind gusts, and a tornado or two is possible. Can't rule that out. So pay attention when they start to spark up around Minneapolis and they push in towards western Wisconsin. That's, of course, where they're going to be the strongest. But as they move into central Wisconsin, they should be weakening. And off into eastern Wisconsin by Lake Michigan, they're pretty much going to ease up and dissipate there. But those will be moving through overnight, late tonight, and more are expected again tomorrow as that heat and humidity sticks here with us.
It would help if I took myself off mute where I was trying to have some coffee here. My friends up here in Regina, the one is a native of Saskatchewan, she is, but her husband is from London originally. Doesn't drink coffee, nothing but tea. And so look, they tried to make coffee for me, but they only had these little teeny espresso cups for the coffee.
Pinky up.
Which has there's definitely some tea in there. Nobody should drink tea early in the morning, but we'll give it our best. Brittany, thank you so much. I hope to talk to you from normal circumstances tomorrow.
Absolutely. Safe travels back.
Whatever the heck those are. So we noted in today's history lesson that it was on this day in 1980 that the original Blues Brothers movie came out. If you take a look behind John and Gordy on social media, you see one of the original promo posters for the Blues Brothers, or at least that's the way it kind of looks here with these two handsome dudes in their sunglasses. John and Gordy, what's the story on that? Did you guys have a cameo role, or what's with the promo photo there? Oh, I think we lost their audio. Let's see. Now we're going to ask Dom to turn up their microphones so that we can hear them again. Hey, there we go.
We'll see.
Here. Look at this. We're watching Dom now race into the studio. Oh, I know. It's like having mimes on the radio, you know?
It's exactly what you want on radio is mimes.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. They're stuck in a box now. Oh, and they've...
And now they're just gone.
Locked out.
Oh, geez.
Well, I think we've... Clearly, John and Gordy have had enough of this.
Yes.
these are talented, large market individuals that do not need to be spending time with a guy who can't even get out of Saskatchewan, you know, to run a radio show. But we do see that they are trying to pop on again, so that'll be nice. So let me set up what we're going to do after we're done talking with John and Gordy for this half hour. It's at that point that I have to depart for the airport and hopefully get out of here today, and then be back in Chippewa Falls tomorrow with you for another edition of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, formerly Up North News Radio, where we will talk about the news of the day. The news of today has been honestly pretty sad, and so we haven't spent nearly as much time dwelling on it because... not just for the sadness, but again, the redundancy. We've been thinking about this all weekend, the murder of a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband, and the shooting of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife. The suspect was arrested late yesterday, and you know, based on his extensive history, it appears to be continuing this string of right-wing political violence, which is becoming far too normal in this country. And I guess we can only hope that justice is done for him, and that in doing so, it will, you know, prevent any other possibilities where people think that this is going to be normal in America. I worry about it, though, because we've managed to normalize school shootings. It would have seemed to me after Columbine, this nation would have moved heaven and earth to do something about the gun problem in this country. And instead... there's been no shortage of Americans who get elected to office and say to you with a straight face, it's not that, it's a mental health problem. And yet the Joint Finance Committee this week in the legislature cut mental health funding for schools. So we have a lot of work to do to cover the news of the situation. But again, we'll cover more of that tomorrow when hopefully things are more back to normal. Not what this is, which is poor John and Gordy being bounced around. Yeah, now I can hear you just fine again. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show, John and Gordy, after a long absence. Yes, sir.
I have a question for. First of all, why are you in Canada, and why is your graphic say you're stranded there? Why did you go to Canada in the first place, and why are you stranded?
We have some dear friends up here just outside of Regina, Saskatchewan. We actually met them during our 3 years living in the Caribbean on Grand Cayman. And Sherry was working down there as an OBGYN. I was working at the TV station. She was an OBGYN, and her pediatrician was originally from London. He met a girl who was originally from Regina. They got married, and we came back from Grand Cayman back to Wisconsin, and she came back to Regina with a husband from London in tow. And wow. So now, instead of visiting them on an island, we have to come up here on the tundra to come see them.
What a difference.
Yes. Okay. So that's our convoluted thing of how we got there. Okay. Going to be a quick weekend visit. No problem. We get in, we get out, nothing to it, unless, of course, the plane doesn't start. And apparently the airline up here in Canada, not known for having a lot of spare planes lying around. So we have to hope that this thing heads over to Barney's garage and is fixed in time for a flight this morning instead. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it because I can tell in other people when I was sending messages like, oh, way to extend your vacation. I'm like, you know what? If I were going to extend a vacation, it wouldn't have been through all the stuff we went through yesterday, only to have this little sip of interesting tasting coffee.
Yeah, yeah. That is the smallest cup I've ever seen. Do they have nice diners up there? And
oh yeah, they do. They have food? Yep, they have great food. Oh, can we talk about the poutine for a second?
Please.
Yes.
No, if we do, I'll never leave. It's how is poutine not invented in Wisconsin? It's cheese curds.
Yes.
It's gravy. It's French fries. I do not understand how this wasn't invented in Madison or, you know, Wisconsin Dells or something like that. Canada, you did right by our cheese curds.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it should be a big thing down here, too. Why didn't we absorb some of that down here in Wisconsin?
I know.
So close.
We're just so focused on making sure it squeaks just right that we forgot there's ways to serve it up warm and delicious. So,
well, you might remember one of the politicians at the state capitol, a Republican, wanted to take butter off our tables.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember they wanted to repeal that law that required butter on every table in a restaurant in Wisconsin.
Sacrilege. Just absolute sacrilege. Jeez.
I know.
How was your guys this weekend?
Good. Gordy attended the protest down here, the No Kings protest.
Yeah, and it was well attended, about 15,000 people in the state capitol area and up to the library mall. And they had a women's march before the protest that happened at the capitol. And everything was very peaceful. In fact, it was kind of a festive atmosphere. Didn't see any signs of any trouble. I don't think there were any problems with it. And it was well attended. And yeah, it was all good.
15,000, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And then the other thing that you had in some communities was you actually had a pride march that was going on. And then in some cases, they kind of, you know, merged at some point to become more of a larger rally. And as we were talking earlier in the last hour and hearing from an organizer of one of the Eau Claire protests, they were talking about how refreshing it was to see that there were people, Republicans or fiscal conservatives, who said, you know, this is not the kind of world that we want to live in, where we've normalized things that should not be normalized, and that people wanted to come together and say, we can do better than this.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's such a strange thing to see the military on our streets.
Yeah.
And the normalization of putting the military on our streets.
Yeah, it was, and it shouldn't be, and I think that really sent a statement this weekend that people would protest that way instead of trying to disrupt what was happening in D.C. So for folks along in the network, a local update is next for some of you. For the rest of you hanging here, we're going to talk more with John and Gordy, and then in our next half hour, Parker will be talking to author Laura Bird, and that's all coming to you from, well, I used to say the heart of America's up north, but the Canadian, from the heart of Canada's up north, up here on the prairies. Thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Minutes from now, we will be visiting with Jane Matinere. Well, I mean, we won't be. I won't be. I'm heading to the airport in just a little bit here. But Parker will be talking to Jane Matinair about what's coming up, along with Greg Bach on Matinair on Air, coming up at 9 o'clock here across Civic Media Radio Network. John and Gordy continue with us for a few minutes more before they run away from their busy work day and I run away to try to be back in America again.
That's a big thing on that, Pat. Are you being held hostage? You know, Canada is not very happy with the U.S. They don't want to be the first 51st state, and they're holding on to you until somebody backs down on this.
It could be. I mean, I joked about it for the past few days, like, well, I'll see you on Monday if they let me back in. But I thought it would be a problem with, you know, American Border Patrol going, oh, yeah. You can't come right. back in. Or yeah. if they do let me in, it's to put me on a different plane to go to Guantanamo or something like that.
But have your papers in order, yes.
Yeah. I never dreamed I'd be undone by a prop driven airplane. I got in this airplane. I'm like, wait, propellers? Do we still use those things? Yeah. I mean, honest to God. Okay. And it worked. It was fine on the way out. But I don't know if the props weren't spinning right, then I guess I'll take a day off. If it takes them a little time to figure out if they go, maybe in Canada, they go counterclockwise instead of clockwise. Maybe,
no, I'm wondering.
Or it's metric. I don't know. What's the value of the Canadian dollar to the speed of a propeller? I'm not sure. So we've tried to cover the day's news as best we can, including the rallies and things. And Los Angeles was a focal point of it, guys. And you talked to somebody on your show today that really gave you a first-person account of things.
Yeah, we were talking with Tiffany Hobbs from KFI AM in Los Angeles, and she really gave us a rundown of everything that's been happening there for the last week or so. And it was a good interview.
Yeah, she was pretty impressed with the police in LA. They've been very cooperative, even though you've seen, you know, some confrontations, of course. But the police have been very good with a lot of the protesters out there. It's the curfews that we're really seeing where there is a confrontation. You know, they're trying to clear the streets for that curfew. They have a curfew from 6 a.m., I believe, until 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. rather. So that's the curfew time. And they're
actually
trying to,
8 p.m.
they're trying to clear the streets.
Yeah.
So it's
yes.
8 p.m.
till 6 a.m. overnight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Well, I mean, for most folks, there are some folks who they probably should not be allowed out in the daytime. Yeah, but yeah, you know, your point is well taken. Here's the thing about perspective that we've tried to get on the situation. One is, like you said, it's just a handful of incidents that get magnified. But we also, as part of we had some journalists on Friday with our usual week in review panel, and they pointed out the allure of fire, that you can have largely peaceful protests everywhere. But if one person sets like a dumpster on fire and it's many blocks away from the main action, but if you're a TV producer, you tend to focus on the thing that's burning, and suddenly people think Los Angeles is on fire, you know, because
that's
certain
right.
people are ginning it up. And I'm glad you got to talk to somebody that put it much more in perspective. In a city of 11 million people, you know, how little bit of this is actual activity, and how little bit of that is actually problematic activity.
That's right. You know, there are people out there that are protesting. There are organizers that go out there and actually control the crowd as well. And a lot of people don't understand or even know that that's happening. And they do need a spokesperson at these very confusing events. There's a lot of people doing certain things, moving in certain ways, but these organizers are able to keep things in check for most of the time.
You know where some of that comes from, I'm quite certain, is all the Act 10 protests in Madison in 2011. I don't know if either one of you were you know, down
there. We were definitely there. Yeah.
Okay. Where, again, you saw I'm not going to call it self-government, but you certainly saw, you know, people trying to take the reins and say, okay, here are some ground rules, here are some resources, here's where to get food or first aid or anything like that. And look, sometimes people say what they will about protests, but sometimes in mass events like this, you really start to see the best of people looking out for each other.
In fact, in those Act 10 protests, there was no vandalism and very few arrests, if any. Mm-hmm. That says a lot about Madison.
I'm confused. I was given reason to believe by Scott Walker that the Capitol burned down. Yeah.
Didn't they come up with like an estimate of $6 million damage to the Capitol?
Yes. Yes. And it was like,
it was just the lawn of, and maybe $50,000 just to repair the lawn where people had been standing. So,
yeah. Yeah. Which you could have gotten at, you know, just your ordinary Madison rave or something like that.
Yes.
So, you guys have anything coming up this week that, you're looking forward to, or is it, it's just another great week to be a Madison morning radio host.
Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Jesse Christensen. Now, he is an expert in all the new products that are coming out in the cannabis area. But this is actually something that's therapeutic. It's a cannabis. He's into he has an organization called Cannabinoids Therapeutics.
Yes.
And they're getting, he's more into the medical side of cannabis and what, how it can relieve tension and help you out. So he has, they've developed some sort of taffy. It sounds like something you'd see in Wisconsin Dells, yes, perhaps, some taffy or fudge.
A whole new line of taffy.
But we're going to find out all about that from Jesse Christensen tomorrow.
Yeah, he calls it Laffy Taffy, doesn't
he? I think something like a good that. Name for it. If he hasn't called it yet, he should call it that. Yes.
There you go. Okay, well, good. We got that to look forward to, folks. If you're not in the Madison area, you can catch it on the Civic Media app. And if you're in the Madison area and you want to bounce back and forth between shows, you find us over there as well. John and Gordy, thank you guys so much. Thanks for rolling with the punches here, and we'll see if we can't have a normal day with normal guests and a normal host in the normal place. All right.
All right, Pat. Thanks.
Have
Pat.
A great day, guys. All right. Coming up on the program tomorrow, hopefully with me in Chippewa Falls, we'll be talking to Hans Breitenmoser about President Trump's apparent flip-flop on deportation raids that affect farming. And also Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will recap last weekend's state Democratic convention and all the reaction to his column about Governor Tony Evers. I'm Pat Kreitlow, stranded in Regina, heading to the airport now. Parker Olson's going to be talking to author Laura Bird and then Jane Mantenere, all coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.
Welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am not the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow. He is hopefully en route to the airport so he can return stateside from our friends in the Great North. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat for this final half hour here on a Monday morning of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the Civic Media Radio Network. Author Laura Bird is with us now, and this time around, for your summer reading recommendation, she's going to help us understand memoirs. They're not the same as autobiographies, which I learned just recently, so in my mind, very similar, but you're going to tell us about the difference in the characteristics and give us several examples you might want to pick up for your next addition to your nightstand, your beach bag, or your bookshelf. Laura Bird, welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you. It is awesome to be here in studio.
Yes, yes. Great. You're joining us in studio. We are thrilled to have you. Pat was looking forward to having you in the studio for the first time for this conversation, and I kind of get to steal his thunder. So
it's great to be here.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's excellent to have you with us. And so autobiographies versus memoirs, picking it up for the summer reading list. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what makes the two different?
Sure. Let me start by saying I'm so happy to be talking about memoirs because it is one of my favorite genres. You know, I think in life, we all go through tough times. We all go through difficulties. And sometimes we feel really alone in those. But when you pick up a book and you open up the pages, you find that there are so many other people that have been through similar experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's very comforting in a way, I think, to find that sense of validation and even a sense of community, if you will. In fact, James Baldwin, a novelist, once said, "You think your pain and your heartbreak are unprecedented in the history of the world, but then you read." So, yet another reason. Yeah, it is. It's yet another reason why I love reading so much. But to answer your question, I think readers sometimes get autobiographies and memoirs mixed up. So, I want to just start there.
Okay.
Whereas autobiographies and other nonfiction titles emphasize facts, memoirs, which is the French word for memory or reminisce, focus on personal experience and emotional truth. So writers of memoirs kind of get a chance to play with their memories in order to tell an engaging story. And for this reason, memoirs are not really bound to traditional expectations around chronology and factual accuracy, like autobiographies and other nonfiction books are. So it's a little more creative, a little more
leeway there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. And I was asking you this morning because the first thing that came to mind, the closest thing that I've read recently was Storyteller by Dave Grohl, who was the drummer for Nirvana and then the front man for the Foo Fighters. Yes. And I was like, I don't know. Is this a memoir or is this an autobiography? And so, yeah, you in fact told me memoir.
Yeah. If he wrote it, and I have not read that one, I've heard great things about it, but I think there is a lot of creative leeway there. So I would make that, I would call that a memoir, which is a great segue because I feel like when you're reading memoirs, there's sort of two types in general of memoirs. You get the celebrity memoir, which is what we're talking about, right? And then we get the memoir written by kind of the everyday person, which is what I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
But,
and folks, if you're just joining us, we're with Laura Bird, author, giving us some recommendations for your summer reading list. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat is heading towards the airport, going to be returning to the United States. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat for this final half hour of the show. So you've got some recommendations for those everyday kind of memoirs for the summer reading list.
I do. Do you want me to tell you really quick, if you love a celebrity memoir, and maybe some of your listeners do, in 2025, there are some very famous people coming out with their tell-alls, and I'm not really going to talk about them today, but Tina Knowles, Chelsea Handler, Jeremy Renner, Brooke Shields, Bill Gates, Margaret Atwood, Joe Piscopo, and Cher all have
that's
books coming out
list.
This year.
Yes. It's a long list. So that's going to be maybe a subject for another morning.
Maybe,
But this morning, you've got a couple of recommendations for memoirs written by everyday people. And this first one, if you've ever had someone in your life or yourself touched by cancer or been terminally ill, what do we have in store for the readers here?
We have Rehearsals for Dying, Digressions on Love and Cancer by Ariel Gore. And I know this is all heavy stuff from Monday morning.
That's a heavy place to start.
It's heavy, but this is reality, right?
And it's a relatable topic. Yes, because if you yourself have not been touched by this subject, there's undoubtedly somebody in your life that has been.
Absolutely. So Ariel Gore's wife, Dina, steps out of the shower one day and says, "Does my breast look weird?" And it does, in fact, look weird. And she is ultimately diagnosed with terminal breast cancer. But with empathy and a lot of humor, Ariel braids Dina's experiences of being sick with her own role as caretaker. And so it's a really heartbreaking and hopeful story.
And hopefully for folks that are going through a similar situation with that and don't know how to either navigate that world or they're looking for some connection for somebody else that has gone through that, an excellent story to be able to relate to.
That's why we read memoirs, right? You can see kind of how people find their sense of resolve, what strategies they use. I mean, there's a lot of courage that goes into writing books like this.
A lot of courage and a lot of love, which I think is a good segue for the next one as well. Do you need a reminder that love is much greater than the narrow ideals we've been taught to want?
Yes, such a great question. Read Love in Exile by Sean Fay. So Sean is a trans woman, and she grew up consumed with the idea that love was not for her. Romantic love and also self-love. And so you can imagine that these feelings like erupted in a lot of really destructive behavior. So now as an adult, she confronts this idea of lovelessness and really believes that it's symptomatic of bigger problems in our culture.
Okay.
So really great book.
All right. And that is number two recommendation from author Laura Bird, who is with us here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And we've got some excellent if you're watching us on the live streams for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, you can check out Laura's holding up the covers as well for the pieces here in the studio. And up next, we have the question for listeners. Do you have issues around foot and body image?
Food and body image.
Or food, excuse me.
Yeah. So read Hunger, A Memoir of My Body by Roxane Gay. So as a woman who describes her own body as wildly undisciplined, which I think is such a great phrase, Roxane Gay really understands the tension between desire and denial. And so in Hunger, in this new memoir, she writes about food, weight, self-image, and really learning how to feed her hunger while also learning how to take care of herself.
Yeah. And again, a topic that I think there's folks out there in our lives, whether if not ourselves, mm-hmm. people that we know, and an excellent opportunity to be able to read that memoir and yeah. and really relate to Absolutely. Somebody else's story.
Absolutely.
And so up next, we've got, do you want to know more about neurodiversity and how people see the world through different lenses?
Great. Great subject. You need to read Normally Weird and Weirdly Normal, My Adventures in Neurodiversity by Robin Ince. So Robin kind of reminds us all that no matter how weird we are or how weird we feel, it's okay to be different. So he's a British broadcaster and comedian, and he's entertained thousands of people in his career. But underneath the surface, he's struggled with self-doubt and near constant anxiety. And he's diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 52.
Wow.
So pretty, you know, later in life. Mm-hmm. And suddenly he needs to figure out how to turn his stumbling blocks into stepping stones. So this is a really quirky and witty dive into the world of human behavior.
And I think I can attest myself as somebody that's been on this side of the microphone, been behind the microphone, feelings like that are definitely present mm-hmm. amongst broadcasters. So that I may have to bump that one up to the top of my summer reading list. Folks, you are listening to Mornings with Pat Freitlow. I am Luke Mathers filling in for Pat. He is hopefully going to be with us again tomorrow morning on a Tuesday morning edition of Mornings with Pat Freitlow here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined right now in studio by author Laura Bird. We're discussing some of the memoirs that she has put together for us in a list to add for your summer reading list, talking to everyday individuals, though. These stories, mm-hmm. not necessarily celebrity memoirs, but memoirs written that you can relate to going about your life, especially asking these questions. Have you ever grieved a miscarriage yeah. or the loss of someone
yeah.
that you love?
This is a tough one. So you need to read Firstborn by Lauren Christensen. So Lauren gets pregnant with a daughter that she and her husband named Simone, only Simone is never born. And Lauren loses her through miscarriage and then comes home from the hospital, you know, racked with grief, understandably, and literally starts writing her memoir. So right then and there. So she writes in this like fierce, intimate style, and she poses a really big, tough question. How do we live when everyone who makes up our world will someday be gone?
And a very powerful question. Mm-hmm. And I think the self-reflection and the journey that you can go on
yeah.
With Lauren on that one, it seems very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
And so we also have memoirs written for individuals that have given acts mm-hmm. of service.
Yes.
So are you a military veteran or are you a military veteran who's a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And this one... this title, Laura?
Yeah, Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, a veteran's memoir by Khadija Queen. This one is getting a lot of hype this year.
Okay.
So it's the late 1990s, and a young Khadija Queen is recruited to join the U.S. Navy while working a minimum wage job and really trying to manage her family's substance abuse problems. So things are pretty tough for her. So she's excited to go into the Navy. You know, she completes her grueling training, boards her ship, and she finds herself in even more traumatic situations because she has to deal with sexual harassment, racism, and some really demeaning labor assignments. So this is her masterful chronicle about survival and autonomy.
And again, situations that everyday folks are navigating, but may not necessarily have the words mm-hmm. to fully understand the experiences they themselves have had. And memoirs like these, very, very powerful tools in folks being able to reflect and think deeply about yeah. what these subjects are truly trying to tackle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so maybe the next question we have for this book would be mm-hmm. maybe you're questioning the path you're on and wondering if there's a different way to live.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
Oh,
Laura.
So this is a good one. It's called A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun. By Sister Monica Claire. So surprisingly, this is actually a really funny memoir.
Okay.
It's really soulful, funny. And it's about a chronic people pleaser who surprises everyone in her life and kind of herself too, when she abandons her career as a photo editor and leaves her marriage in order to join the convent.
That sounds like a pretty
yeah.
heavy subject to bring some brevity to
yeah.
with comedy though.
Absolutely. So she really writes quite beautifully about the messiness that ensues when she finally stops and listens to that voice inside her head, calling her to a simpler, quieter life. So it's a great testimony about embracing our most authentic selves, even when it's hard and scary.
Okay. All right. And we got a couple more here. Sure. We've got recommendations from author Laura Bird. Add for memoirs to your summer reading list. Maybe you want to know what it's like to fight your way through poverty and still have a sense of humor on the other side. So another, yes, another comedic memoir, yes, or at least with some humor to it.
Yes, there's definitely humor here. And this book, Alligator Tears by Edgar Gomez, is getting a lot of buzz this year. So get your hands on this. In Florida, apparently, I grew up in Wisconsin, so mm-hmm. I didn't learn this. Okay, but apparently you're taught as a kid that if you're ever chased by a wild alligator, the only way to save yourself is to run away in zigzags.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I visited Orlando a couple times growing up as a kid, and that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, that is a lesson on survival that has guided much of author Edgar Gomez's life. And so in this funny, wicked smart memoir, he shares very ziggy-zaggy anecdotes of growing up working class, queer, and Latinx, and how he's attempted to claw his family out of poverty by any means necessary.
All right. Another excellent read to add to the summer reading list. We've got a couple more here. We're going to try to add them to the podcast notes because we're running short on time here, Laura. Again, we've been speaking with author Laura Bird here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat. I know he's looking forward to the next time you're able to join him here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And we really appreciate you being here in the studio with us this morning, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we got Jane Matinere of Matinere On Air coming up to tease what is on her program with Greg Bach this morning. You're listening to Mornings with Pat.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It is now 8:52 on a Monday morning. You are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. No, it is not something off with your radio speakers this morning. I am not Pat Kreitlow. I am Luke Mathers, filling in this final half hour of the program for Pat, so he is able to rejoin us here stateside. Thanks for being with us. If you'd like to contribute to the show, you can join call or text for this final segment of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. 855-752-4842. And we are joined here on the show by the lovely, the incomparable Jane Matinere. Jane, how are we doing on this Monday morning?
I am good, Lukester. It was really a beautiful weekend and I got no complaints.
No complaints? We had a little sunburn in our household. It was not fun. My wife was insistent that she stayed out of the sun well enough. And we returned home yesterday from, we went to the Brewers game. I like to go to the ballpark with my dad for Father's Day.
Nice.
And we got back in the car and just fried. I was like, oh, like I was okay. I did not apply the sunscreen. I was taking the gamble as well. But she is mystified. She does not know how well she got burned. But you've got a garden. How is the garden looking?
The garden is, it's really growing.
All right.
Greg and I were talking about this off the air this morning. What is it about some things you cannot kill them? the thistles, for example.
Yeah.
I have those in my yard. We have them now in front here at the WRJN on Radio Park here in Racine. I have done everything in my power to kill the thistles in my garden, and you can't.
And they're still there.
They can serve nuclear holocaust. Thistles will come through with it like roaches. But other things that you want to grow will not grow.
Right. You never have that problem with the tomato plant or the zucchini that you're really hoping for, but it just doesn't work out.
I can't kill it. Yeah, that never happens. I'm not quite sure how that works. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we've got a show coming up for you here with Greg from 9 to 11. What is in store for listeners tuning in to Matinere On Air this morning?
Well, I would much rather start somewhere else, but we're going to be talking about the assassination of the Minnesota lawmaker and the attempted assassination of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife. So we're going to begin with that. In the second half, after the 9:30 news, we're going to talk about the No Kings protests that were around the country yesterday at the same time that essentially Donald Trump's Ego Parade was going on in Washington, D.C. Kind of an interesting comparison when you look at the events that were going on around the country and then what was happening in D.C. I feel badly for our troops.
Yeah. And
I really do.
The side-by-side comparison, I think, and you have to go seek out multiple news sources, because if you're only watching one, you're going to get kind of the specific lens that those folks are putting on. So you got to kind of see. And I was perusing around the different coverage, and it was stark, the comparison between covering all the events. So an excellent recap of Saturday's events coming up on Matt and Air on air throughout the 9 o'clock hour. And we saw as one of the staff members from Civic Media that attended the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's state convention over the weekend, was covering it for the network. There was heightened security on Saturday at the venue in the Wisconsin Dells. You could see that there were folks on edge, and that there was a sense of the really severity of the news from Minnesota, our neighboring state, throughout the weekend, with that increased presence at the state convention. And you're going to be talking with Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, who was with me there, about the state convention coming up today as well.
Yep. Dan Schaefer is going to join us for a recap of the state convention after the 10 o'clock news. So we will hear all of the inner workings, what happened over the weekend. We have a new head of Wisconsin Dems. So we will talk to Dan about that, among many other things. And then, as we always do, Luke, for the last half an hour of the show, we try and lighten things up so we can all take a breath, because we all need to get away from the news just for a little bit.
Yes.
So after 10:30, it's a segment we call Audio Sorbet, and we're going to talk. This is the hard-hitting stuff we're covering on Matt and Air on Air. Bagels, toasted or no?
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting.
You wouldn't think it was that hot of a discussion, but it is.
It is one of those areas of conversation where if you talk, people are very, very motivated about their bagel preferences.
Passionate about bagels. So after 10:30... hard-hitting stuff, bagels, toasted or no, for our audio sorbet. And then we'll wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Catch Me If You Can edition. It's a good one.
All right.
Well, they're all pretty good, but it's a good one.
Does Leo get to make an appearance too? Or is
there is travel involved.
Okay.
There is travel involved with today's tisbet.
Are you having Pat Kreitlow call in from the plane?
No, Pat Kreitlow's going to, provided Pat Kreitlow can get back in the country, he is going to be on the show tomorrow after 9:30.
Okay,
so,
there we go.
Yes, we can get adventures and travel with Pat Kreitlow tomorrow.
There we go. You're going to get to hear all about it. And folks, you can tune in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. It's going to be a fun experience. It's going to be an experiment, too, of we find out if Pat's back or if I'm going to be sitting here in the chair filling in for Mr. Kreitlow if his plane continues to have mechanical issues. Folks, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. We are joined this final segment of the morning by Jane Matinair, host of Matinair On Air, which you can tune into and listen throughout the Civic Media Radio Network from 9 until 11 each weekday morning. And any other big subjects coming up later this week, Jane? You got Pat tomorrow?
We have Pat tomorrow. We also have retired Major General Randy Manner is going to be joining us tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about Donald Trump electing to send in National Guard troops and military into Los Angeles, where they have not been requested, and many, many other things. Randy Manner has joined us numerous times over the last year or so, so I hope people can join us for that. That's all coming up tomorrow.
All right, fantastic. You're going to want to tune in to Matt and Air on Air weekdays across the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Thank you so much, Jane. It's always a pleasure to get to talk
good
with
to
you on
you,
the air.
Luke.
Good to see you as well. Folks, you've been listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat will hopefully be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. From then until now, have an excellent rest of your Monday, and we will talk to you soon.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.